I looked in a dictionary yesterday for how to define a word. It's almost like a VW bug, huh? How many can you fit inside? Okay, thank you, Tim. All right, I looked into the dictionary yesterday to find out the definition of a word, and the word was tool, spelled T-O-O-L, is how I'm spelling the word tool. And the definition that the dictionary gave was a handheld device that aids in accomplishing a task. Now, the reason I was thinking of tools is because I was using this earlier this week, and it made me think of what I'm going to talk about today. Now, Melvin knows what this is. Nevin knows what this is. There's probably other people here, but probably some of you haven't seen anything like this before. This is a pipe cutter. It cuts a pipe. You put a pipe in there, you put it against, you turn the little knobby, and you turn it in circles, and then it cuts it. It's not sharp, but the pipe has to be a copper pipe. Well, should be a copper pipe. And then it cuts it to where you want to do, and then you can do different things, whatever you're going to do with this particular pipe. You're going to use the tool to cut the pipe to use the pipe for how you want to. Now, there is always a right tool for the right job, but sometimes we have to make do with what we have. So sometimes we may use tools for other than what they're used for. Now, a tool is a handheld device that aids in accomplishing a task, but I wrote it a little differently as something you hold in your hand that helps you get some work done. Okay? So it's a handheld piece of equipment that helps us get some work done. So I have a pipe cutter. I guess we'll call it a wrench.
Channel locks,
very good. But these channel locks have a problem. What problem do these channel locks have?
That's the point.
No, can you hold those? What, do they have a problem?
They can't close.
They don't close very well, do they?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
So that you don't have to get another person to hold it.
Yeah, well, these don't close very well because I use them as a hammer. I used this end, I had a pound on something, and that's what I had. And so now, it makes these kind of hard. And I want you to remember that. When you can use a tool for something other than it's designed for. Like you said, you can hold something with it so that you don't have to have somebody else hold it. And then maybe you can use this tool to cut it. But that's a tool I brought. But I also brought a hammer. Okay, I figured everybody would know what a hammer looked like. That's a hammer. That pounds nails. That hasn't pounded a lot of nails, because I don't pound a lot of nails, but it has a few. And I brought the closest thing I have to a sword. Now, it's not a sword, but it's the closest thing. It's what I use to cut up pumpkins. I brought my machete with me. It even has some pumpkin pieces still on it. But just, we have to think about that. This is used as a tool. It's not sharp. It's not gonna hurt anybody because all I use it to do is cut pumpkins. So you can use it to cut brush. You know, you can use it to, people use it in different parts of the world to cut paths through brushy areas. So that's another tool that I brought. So what do you do when a tool breaks? Okay? Let's think about that question for a second. What do you do when a tool breaks? What if that tool was very important? Would you take care of it? Would you take care of, you know, I didn't take care of this tool very well by using it as a hammer. I really could have got up and found my hammer, but I didn't. I was feeling kind of lazy, and I didn't realize I was going to, I wouldn't say break it, but make it difficult to use. What if somebody gave you the tool and made it very important to you? Would you take care of it? I mean, I would think so.
If you could still use it for
That's right. If you take care of it, you can use it over and over again. Now, some of these tools aren't the same. You know, like this one, this tool is a different design than others. And so some of these tools have designed the chain. You know, there's different designs for hammers and so on, and channel locks. There's different sizes of those. They're pretty much the same design. Well, they have, some of them have slides and so forth. So there are different designs for the tools. I like to read a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 for a second. In Jeremiah chapter, 23, verse 29, Jeremiah writes here, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God is using, through Jeremiah here, a hammer to describe the word of God. So that's what I want you to think about these tools. As possibly, think about the word of God. Is the word of God a tool in your life? Do you use the word of God the way it should be used? Or do you use it possibly in ways that it shouldn't be used? And therefore, makes it very difficult to in your life. In Ephesians chapter 6, also we have written here, now verse 17, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the word of God compared to another tool. Like I said, this isn't a sword, but it's as close as I can get. The word of God is compared to a sword. It cuts. And let's go ahead and read in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, I forget which verse it is. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God, again, is compared to a sword that can cut right into our very hearts, our very lives. To can divide, it says here, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word is very, very powerful. I'd like to read some verses in Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like you to think about you. And I like for me to think about me. The word of God is compared to mighty tools that we just read. But how about me? In Colossians chapter 3 here, we have some. Well, I'll just like you to listen. Are you able to listen for a little bit? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put on the old man with his deeds, and have put on... Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow, a lot of things here that God wants to work in our lives. He wants us to change who we are to be more like Him. He wants us to be His tools to here on this earth to those that are around us. We use different tools for a different job, depending upon what job we on. And when we misuse a tool, it doesn't always work so good. I did use this tool earlier this week, but I had to do this in order to get it to work right. And that sometimes is hard. And when we misbehave ourselves, we are like a misusing the tool. And all we do is hurt our very own selves. But when we use the tool right, then it works right. And we can be thankful that God is willing to use us as His tools. So that's all I have for today. And I thank you for your time. Let's go back to our seats.